It's a post-Super Bowl edition of Pittsburgh Pop here at Trib Live, your weekly slice of pop culture with Rob Owen and me, Tim Benz. Breakfast with Benz, Monday through Friday throughout the course of the week. You can read my stuff there, and Rob, you can check out not only here at Pittsburgh Pop, but at TV Talk and TV Q&A. And Rob, today, the big topic of conversation coming out of the Super Bowl. Well, for football fans, it's the result of the game. For those that just watch the game for other reasons, for the pop culture aspect, it's oftentimes the commercials, the broadcast, the halftime show. How did you absorb the Super Bowl from that standpoint?
I thought it was a good game. It was a close game for much of it. It wasn't a blowout. That's always a plus whenever that happens, right? Because it's not like, okay, I'm done, click, turn it off. So I like that. I thought the halftime show, you know, I am not Mr. Music guy. Rihanna, it's one of those things where I'm like, oh yeah, I've heard that song as she's performing, but I can't instinctively say to you, oh, Rihanna has X number of hits and one of her songs is X, because I just don't know. But I thought that her performance was interesting in that, you know, she did not move around a lot, but there was all this motion around her. They were able to, the lighting was incredible, the way they were able to project all these different colors on the weird blobby marshmallow men that were around her. And certainly the Super Mario Brothers or Super Smash Brothers staging with the platforms was interesting. So yeah, I liked the halftime show pretty well. And I thought I was happy that some of the commercials that aired, I hadn't seen in advance. I tried to avoid them, but then I had to write a story, so that spoiled some of them for me. And I didn't think they were an overwhelmingly good batch of Super Bowl commercials.
I didn't think so either. I thought they're kind of lame, actually.
Well, there was a lot of celebrities, and for the most part, it was just kind of wallpaper. There wasn't a lot that broke out to me, but there were a few that I liked. What was your overall?
Like the rock star one you're talking about, where they just crammed in as many rock stars as humanly possible?
Yeah, there were a lot like that. That one, the Ozzy Osbourne one you're mentioning, there was also the
J-Lo and Ben Affleck, the Dunkin' Donuts one.
Yeah, that one I liked. I
did like that one too. That one was in my top three.
Yeah, the Diddy one, I did not get that those were all supposed to be one-hit wonders, because again, not a music guy. I did like that they had the singers from What Does the Fox Say, just because that's a song my kids brought home from school, so I've heard it a million times. But yeah, what was it? Oh, there was one, a booking.com one that had Melissa McCarthy, but she was unrecognizable until about halfway through the commercials, so I didn't even realize it was her. And Anna Faris, she was in the avocados commercial. I had no idea it was Anna Faris.
That falls into the category of what we talked about last week.
Pedro Pascal,
yes. When we were talking about that game show that he was on.
Right.
Where they all know everything about movies until you get to the year 2020 and then no one knows. Yeah. So that's where I was for a lot of those commercials.
Yes,
but
yes.
J-Lo and Ben Affleck I got. And I probably wouldn't recognize Sarah McLachlan by face. But my favorite one was the Busch Light commercial.
It was. Okay. So let's do our top three. So you liked that one.
I like that one with the whole, you know, Sarah, that's a wolf. Like, I just thought that was a great line. So, like, that was my favorite one.
I guess that's based on a PETA commercial.
Yes. The one
right?
that she sings about. Yeah. The tear jerking, heartstring pulling. Here's a dog with three legs freezing in the cold and shivering. Yeah. Please give us money. Yeah.
And I'd never seen the ad. So it was lost on me. But go ahead.
So that was my favorite one. I told you Ben Affleck and J-Lo was in my top three. I think the one I put number two is Alicia Silverstone, because she still looks 100% like Alicia Silverstone. I mean, like,
yes,
you talk about your earliest crush. My gosh, Alicia Silverstone in the Aerosmith videos was it for me. So I thought it was well executed. So that was that's my top three. I'd have that one at number two.
All right. My number one, probably it didn't seem to do that great on USA Today's ad meter. I was looking earlier, but the Google Pixel 7, which was the ad for, like, you can erase pictures that.
Oh, that
from
was
your
good.
Pictures.
That was good.
I
yeah.
liked that because it was very grounded. It was like, here is a product. This is what it does. It's kind of interesting and amazing. I've not seen that in a phone's photo software before. It kind of made me want the thing, which, you know, that's what an ad is supposed to do. So, and it was funny, and Amy Schumer was in it. And so that was my number one. My number two, so Tubi had several commercials. I hated their commercials with rabbits. I thought the idea of going down a rabbit hole in streaming is a good concept, but I thought their execution with the creepy rabbits that looked like something out of Donnie Darko was terrible. However, they had another ad that totally got me, where they made it look like you were coming back to the Super Bowl, and then suddenly the TV goes away from the Super Bowl and starts like going to other screens, like on your smart TV. And from looking at Twitter, many people thought, oh my God, I sat on the remote, or I thought the dog sat on the remote. So I thought that one was really effective because it made me look, it made me pay attention. I realized what it was for with the going down the rabbit hole thing. I really had no idea what that was for until the tag at the very end. But so that Tubi commercial I liked. And then my third one was the Ben Affleck and J-Lo for Dunkin'. I knew Ben Affleck had done a Dunkin' commercial. That had been in the news. But I did not realize that it was going to have J-Lo. And I thought the way they got her into it was cute and clever.
What about the one that's getting a lot of buzz for the dog food, the farmer's dog?
Yeah. Okay. So I have my honorable mentions list. So the dog ad, both the one for farmer's dog, which is very heart, pulling the heartstrings. And then the one for Amazon, which took a turn that I didn't expect. I liked both of those dog commercials. I thought those were good. Comedy, bordering on gutter comedy, the premature electrification ad for, I think it was a Jeep Wrangler, maybe.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
No, it wasn't a Jeep Wrangler. It was a different.
There was an ad for Jeep Wrangler.
It was, but that wasn't it. The Jeep Wrangler was had animals. This was a Dodge Ram, I guess. I also liked there was an ad for something called CrowdStrike, which is some sort of protection against virus incursion, and they used Trojan horse, and I thought that was a pretty good one because it was clear what it was about. I actually thought the Mr. Peanut ad was pretty good. You know, it was a comedy roast. I love the line. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm sure you have some brownies to ruin. But that was actually genuinely funny, if not necessarily praiseworthy of the product. But, you know, Mr. Peanut has done some bad ads in the past, but when like they killed him off and brought him back as a baby.
Yes.
I thought that that one was actually pretty good because a roasted peanuts, that worked. U2 Live at the Sphere, that one was great because they totally used the whole imagery of balloons in the sky. The timeliness of it was perfect. Those are my honorable mention ones that I also.
There were a lot of ads for movies as well. The ones that got my attention, the one with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon about Nike one, the Michael Jordan one. I'll definitely see that. I don't know if I'll see Strays, but I wonder if I will be talked into it by my other half.
You know, I thought that one was fascinating. I had not heard of that one, but an R-rated talking animal movie, I agree that holds some appeal.
It worked for Ted.
It worked for Ted, exactly. I'm sure.
And these are the guys that made Ted, so.
Is it? Okay, all right. I didn't realize.
At least the animation, I guess, so.
Okay. Indiana Jones trailer. You know, I was already primed to see that one, but it was fun to see a little bit more of it. And then The Flash, I thought was that production has been terribly troubled because of the star's inability to stay out of trouble with the law. But it looks like a really good movie, and I'm not a big DC fan, but the return of Michael Keaton as Batman was, just hearing, I'm Batman. You know, that was a lot of fun. And also just the concept of the film where there's like two of the Ezra Miller character, Barry Allen. I'm kind of interested in The Flash now, which I wouldn't necessarily have said I was before seeing that. And I watched the extended trailer more than just the 30-second thing that was in the Super Bowl.
Now, what'd you think of the show after the Gordon Ramsay cooking show?
Oh, you know, I am agnostic on Gordon Ramsay shows. I don't really care about them one way or the other. But the interesting thing about it for me was that we had a woman from Munhall in the competition. She's one of the chef testants on the show.
Okay.
But she did not go very far. I sort of thought when I interviewed her last week, she's going to go out in the first episode. Just, I don't know why I thought that. I guess seeing her coupled with clips to, or talking to her coupled with the clips just made me think it wasn't going to last. And I was right about that. She did go home in the premiere episode. But what was really weird is that the show listed her as a home chef, even though she runs a catering business in Munhall, which I thought was like, why would you do that when that's easily debunked? I don't know. So that was, I haven't seen ratings yet to see if that gave the show enough of a bump, but it moves to Thursday nights this week. So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm just to back to the Super Bowl real quick. Yeah. What did you think of the game and what did you think of the halftime show?
The halftime show did absolutely nothing for me. I was just waiting for the second half to start. I knew that was going to be the case. Rihanna does not resonate with me. Anytime it's a rock and roll artist on at halftime, Twitter tells me how old and boring it is. So I guess I can feel like I can say it's old and boring if it's Rihanna, and I don't care. You know, I was a little confused by the Marshmallow Men myself. I was surprised that there weren't any other acts, like no collaboration. You know what I mean? Like I was expecting other people to jump in with her, as is often the case.
Yeah, that does happen. But sometimes, I don't know. I think I kind of liked the streamlined nature of this one. It was like, okay, I know where to look. It's not dizzying me. it just was a competently put on performance of
the lip syncing was way
hits.
Off. Like that was the funniest thing on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Was people making fun of the lip syncing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did like the camera work, like that, especially that final shot where they like pulled way back. I thought that was for a live production, being able to do that kind of camera work was pretty impressive.
The game, I thought it was a good game. You know, seeing Mahomes do what he did to not put up big numbers, but still be a worthy MVP. The fact that they were able to get through that whole game without him getting sacked with that bad ankle of his was something else against Philadelphia's defensive front. I thought coach and quarterback shined as they always do for Kansas City. And Mahomes is the star of stars in the National Football League. So, you know, everybody complained about Brady winning too much. I wonder if we'll ever get to that point with Mahomes winning too much. There was a little of that on Twitter because, you know, it was unfortunate that you had the anticlimactic end to that game with the penalty. At least if they kick a field goal there and there's about a minute, whatever it was, minute eight or whatever left to go in the game, Philadelphia has a chance to come back and maybe force overtime or who knows what happens. I would have preferred that ending, but then again, I thought Philadelphia had some calls that broke in their favor earlier. It's a shame that there's been so much focus on the officiating down the stretch of the National Football League. And I don't think it's all the officials' fault. I just think football has become too complex to officiate. And, you know, I was watching that game through the eye of, well, what if they make it more difficult to officiate with this new tackling rule that they're thinking about putting in place because Mahomes got hurt in the game against Jacksonville earlier in the playoffs. And that one guy from Dallas got hurt the same way. This hip drop tackle that they're starting to consider making legal. I don't know how you would officiate what's a clean tackle then anymore in the National Football League. So, you know, I had those moments going through my mind.
So, two things. First, I read on Twitter that supposedly the last six Super Bowls, whoever got tails at the coin flip won the game. And I believe that Philadelphia got tails last night. So now I don't know if that's true or not, but I thought it was interesting that if indeed Philly got tails and all the most recent ones had gotten tails and this time heads won, I thought, I don't know, kind of interesting. I, again, no idea if it's true. And then the second thing, I saw the commercials for the USFL, which I thought already went out of business multiple times. Is there a Pittsburgh team in this latest iteration? So
yes, the Pittsburgh Maulers are a part of the USFL, but they're not playing in Pittsburgh yet. They launched the USFL last year with all eight teams playing in one venue. It was almost like they took the COVID idea and had them play all in Birmingham to... Well, number one, they were just coming out of COVID and they there was another outbreak or something like that. They figured just keep it contained, A. And then B, it was cost saving.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, just having in one venue. Now I think they're starting to spread out, but like the Pittsburgh team isn't playing in Pittsburgh yet. They're playing in Canton. Their home games are in Canton, Ohio. So, you know, no one's really let, you know, they even took the classic old purple and orange USFL Pittsburgh Mauler uniforms and made them black and gold. And like, you know, usually everything black and gold goes over big here, but people are like, no, the Maulers were purple and orange. Leave them alone.
Oh boy. Okay.
So I'm not sure all how right. That's going to go over. I mean, it is minor league football out of football season. And who knows if that's ever going to work. I've always thought that the minor league should be run concurrently with regular football. And then people are in that mindset, but we'll see. What else do we have, Rob? I know you want to talk about Hulu and FX as well.
Yeah, so there was a lot going on last week with Disney, which is the parent company of both Hulu and FX at this point. And so Bob Iger came back as CEO late last year. They had their earnings call. He dangled a bunch of sequels to Toy Story and Frozen in front of Disney fans. But then he went on CNBC on Thursday and talked about how he was not wild about undifferentiated entertainment services. And I am trying to figure out exactly what that means, but it would seem to mean that he wants things that he is more interested in Disney Plus and being a bespoke curated service than he is in being a undifferentiated general entertainment like a Netflix, like a Paramount Plus, these things that sort of super serve everybody, a little bit of something for everybody, kids shows, adult shows, teen shows, everything. So he was sort of a little bit pouring cold water on the idea that Disney would fully acquire Hulu. It owns the majority of Hulu, but Comcast owns, I think, 20%-ish of Hulu. And there's a possibility that the deal for somebody to own it outright has to happen in 2024. So if he doesn't want to be an undifferentiated service, he sells Hulu. Then my question is, what becomes of FX? For a long time, the thinking has been, well, if he sells Hulu, FX just becomes a tile on Disney Plus. But if FX becomes a tile on Disney Plus, then Disney Plus is super serving everybody because FX is clearly adult programming. So then Disney Plus becomes an undifferentiated general entertainment service. And if he's saying that isn't what he wants, what's the future of FX? And so that is a question to which I do not have an answer, but it is one I am pondering and somewhat concerned about because I generally like FX programming and I don't want to see it go away.
Interesting to track. Yeah, it's a lot of big thinking for us to just pick up the clicker and say, hey, what's on today? But you're right. I mean, there's a lot attached to it because what you might like might have to go elsewhere. And as we've talked about with streaming platforms, the connection between what's what, you know, each show on each platform is tough enough to figure out these days,
right.
You know,
right.
The old, there's no such thing as Thursday nights on NBC anymore, you know, so.
No, there's not.
Last thing you want to bring up was Dick Tracy.
Yes. All right. This is a weird one. So you remember that 1990 Disney movie with Warren Beatty as Dick Tracy?
Yes. And Madonna was in it.
Yes, she was. And she did a bunch of the music for the soundtrack. So Warren Beatty has retained the rights and has said for a while he wanted to do a Dick Tracy sequel. I'm not sure anyone else wants to see it, but he wants to do it. So like in 2008 or 2009, he did this weird Turner Classic Movies special where he appeared as Dick Tracy. And the whole reason he did it was to hold on to the copyright. So this past Friday, they released a new Dick Tracy special, Dick Tracy Zooms In, which was on Turner Classic Movies. I think it was probably a half hour. He was being interviewed by Leonard Maltin. And at first he appeared as Dick Tracy and as the real Dick Tracy who hated the 1990 Dick Tracy movie. And then they brought on Warren Beatty in another window to have a debate with the real Dick Tracy. It was just bonkers. And the fact that this keeps happening, that he keeps doing this, presumably to preserve his right to make an eventual Dick Tracy movie, which he's 85. Is that really going to happen? I don't know. But it is just an oddity of pop culture that I thought was worth mentioning.
And what is the copyright rule then that he's trying to skirt around?
I don't know exactly what it is.
Generate new content every sort of years or something like that?
Yes, exactly. You have to do something to show that you have an interest and that you have done enough with the property to maintain your hold on the copyright or something like that. So anyway, You can find it on YouTube. It's just a very weird pop culture thing.
All right, Rob, what else is coming up in TV Talk and TV Q&A?
Let's see. So we have the return of Star Trek Picard this week. It is the third and final season. I thought the embargo didn't lift until later this week, but it turns out it already lifted. So I can tell you it is excellent. If you hated Picard the first two seasons, which I did not love it the first two seasons, season three is everything you wanted Picard to be when it came on and wasn't. It brings back the whole Next Generation crew, including some non-series regulars whose faces, if you are a fan, you will be very happy to see. Lots of space battles, a streamlined story. Almost all the Picard season one and two characters are gone. So it is the Next Generation you wanted. And they finally give Beverly Crusher sort of the heart of the story and a lot to do, which I am glad for because that character was always neglected and deserved better. So that is TV Talk later this week. And then TV Q&A, what happened to Kenny Steinberg from the Steidel and Steinberg commercials? He's not in them anymore. Where did he go?
So it's just Steinberg without Steidel?
No, it's just Steidel without Steinberg.
Without Steinberg.
Yeah. So where did Kenny Steinberg go? So I will answer that question. And I actually talked to him and it was kind of an interesting, fascinating little interview that I got a kick out of. And so I'm pretty pleased with this week's TV Q&A because it's a little off the beaten path, but I think people will dig it.
And Breakfast with Ben's coming up tomorrow. We'll have some Penguins talk. And we will also on Tuesday, kind of late morning, early afternoon, recap with Gene Steratore, our officiating expert who's on DVE every week, has to say about how the game was officiated in the Super Bowl. So make sure you click on that and read it when it's posted tomorrow at Breakfast with Ben's. This is Pittsburgh Pop, and we will be back with you next week here on Trib Live.